The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Old man Tom Brady won last night, Nathan, making all of the rest of the world's old men feel good about themselves. Or very bad.
Yeah, the statistics around Tom Brady and how often he's got his team to the Super Bowl are slightly insane. And at 43, to go and do it again for a hometown Super Bowl, which has never happened before. Are we talking about America's greatest ever sports person? Is he past Michael Jordan?
I actually, this morning, I was like, it probably is past Jordan at this stage. It probably is. I think we can go back to Mike Carlson. Mike, good morning to you.
Yeah. Can you hear me this time?
We can, yeah. So Tom Brady, yeah, go on.
Yeah, he's a good model for people involved in sport longer. Just do what Tom Brady does and have your personal trainer and keep in shape and all that kind of stuff. But what he's done at age 43, moving to a new team, is absolutely remarkable. And it's kind of like, if you wanted to script this season with the Super Bowl being in Tampa Bay, I think that's probably the way you would have to script it.
So for people who are waking up wondering what happened, they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in a game which didn't get close until close to the end, and then a few mistakes from the Green Bay Packers coaches where they picked some bad options meant that it never quite coalesced into a classic, and that Tom Brady kind of won the game in the first quarter, first half in particular.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was, for him, it was a game of two halves. And in the second half, he tended to be overthrowing balls for some reason. He was putting them high consistently. But they went out to an early lead, and it was a very convincing lead. And in the second half, the Packers came back strong. They intercepted Brady three times, but they could only get 6 points out of those three interceptions. Twice Rodgers was down in first and goal, and they came away with a field goal the first time and the second time. At 4 minutes to go, taking the field goal option. And strangely enough, on the play before, Rodgers had the opportunity to run, and I'm not sure if he would have made a touchdown or not, but if he didn't, it would have given them fourth and goal at about the 2-yard line, and that was probably a better option for them. If they don't tie the game, they still have to get the ball back, but all they need is a field goal to win. The way it worked out, by taking the field goal, they gave good field position to Tom Brady and the Bucks, and the Bucks did the requisite thing and made a first down and killed off the game.
Nathan was just asking the question there while we were getting your line back. Is Tom Brady now officially America's greatest ever sports person?
No, I don't think so. That would be a really hard one. I suppose if you were going back, your greatest American sports person in terms of achievement on the field, and that kind of, you know, takes Jackie Robinson out of the equation, would be Jim Thorpe first, and then going to Babe Ruth, then moving forward probably to Muhammad Ali, and then Michael Jordan. It's harder in football to do that because you are one of a massive team. And I mean, I've had Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time, and back and forth with Otto Graham from the old Cleveland Browns most of the time. So I'm not sure he's in that position, but certainly he's starting to do stuff that nobody in football has ever done before.
I think the other thing that's happened here is that he obviously had the divorce from New England. The Patriots had a poor season, and the question was always whether or not it was Brady or Belichick. It turns out it was obviously both the whole way along, but at least Brady now has done something outside of Belichick and has come out from that shadow.
Yeah, and I think it shows you why Brady was such a good quarterback, because I used to say that with New England, he was a different quarterback, not just season by season, but sometimes week by week, because of the way New England changed their whole game plans around. They're one of the few teams that can do that. You know, in 1 week, they would become an all-running team, then they would become a deep passing team. And Brady could fit that kind of a system. He moved in with Bruce Arians, and as we saw, I think, in the first half of the season, there was a little bit of acclimation process going on. It was a little bit difficult for him. But by this time now, end of the season, he and Arians seem to be on the same page. And what I find most interesting is that he sort of keeps trying to use Mike Evans, his big, tall receiver, the way they used Randy Moss in that 2007 season when Brady threw 52 touchdown passes. He's not, Mike Evans isn't quite Randy Moss, but you could see that loves that, that feeling of being released to throw the ball deep, even though, say, zipping the ball 50 yards through the air.
How big of a screw-up, Mike, was that decision right at the end then to kick the field goal? Aaron Rodgers said after the game that it wasn't his decision. He seemed quite happy to throw Matt LaFleur under the bus. LaFleur obviously said, in hindsight, it wasn't the right decision. Should Rodgers, with all his experience maybe on the field, could he not have tried to put across that actually the best thing to do here is just keep the ball in my hand?
Yeah, that puzzled me quite a bit, because you would think that Matt LaFleur would defer to Rodgers. And if the simple version is quite is, who do you want to win the game for you, Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay defense? And I know which way I would go, and probably everybody else watching the game would go. But when you work it out, if they score the touchdown and don't make the two-point conversion, then they still need to get the ball back and kick a field goal. If they score the touchdown and get the two-point conversion, now it's a tied game and you go. If they don't even score the touchdown, Tampa's in deep in their own territory. So if they can stop them there, they get the ball back in good field position to go down for another one. By kicking the field goal, they basically face the same set of options, but they give Tampa the ball in a much better field position automatically. And I just couldn't understand the logic of it. I don't think anybody else does.
It has set up a clash for the ages, where what looks like the best young talent in any sport in America at the moment is up against the greatest quarterback potentially of all time, in Patrick Mahomes, who last year wasn't the MVP, and this year wasn't the MVP, it was the MVP the previous year. But anyway, whatever way, he is an absolute phenomenon. And you feel like it's a nice story for Tampa to get to the home Super Bowl, but ultimately, this is Patrick Mahomes' world, and the rest of us are just living in it, surely.
Yeah, I think it is a kind of dream matchup, because Mahomes is obviously the future, and Tom Brady is sort of, I wouldn't say he's the past, but he's certainly, it's one in the arm for all of us old guys who like to see the game not necessarily changing as much as it has. I think Tampa will go into this game as underdogs, and because basically they had a one half game against Green Bay, and the last two games, it really hasn't been Tom Brady as much as their defense that has won those games for them. Kansas City did a tremendous job on Buffalo. They understood, I think, what Buffalo wanted to do to them, to try to keep the game in front of their safeties, to keep Kansas City from getting big plays. And Kansas City manufactured big plays anyway. They also showed they were able to go down the field the way Buffalo was asking them or daring them to do, which is, you're going to have to make 10 or 12 good plays to get down the field without making a mistake. And if you make a mistake, we'll get the ball back. And as is their want, they went down 9-0 before they actually started to turn it on. That moment of the McCole Hardman fumble of the punt right in front of their own goal line made me think, maybe this is going to be another shocker. But Kansas City moved right into action. And, you know, your problem is with most teams, there's someone you feel you want to stop and make somebody else beat you. Well, with Kansas City, you basically have to choose between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who both beat Buffalo. They were both over 100 yards receiving. But even if you were to stop both, they do have other weapons who can generate big plays, and including Mahomes himself. But, you know, we also saw Hardman bounce back from that. And I thought that was great coaching by Andy Reid. Your guy makes a horrible mistake. Instead of sticking him on the bench, not giving him the ball again, they bring him back. They target him right away. They get him the ball. He makes a big play. Next time they have the ball, he makes another big play. You know, I just thought at that point, I had huge confidence that Kansas City was going to win this game and go back to the Super Bowl.
It's two old coaches, essentially, who are going to go up against each other in the Super Bowl, as well as the quarterback narrative. You've got that as well. Is this a sign that, because at the moment it's in vogue to hire people who've been in the NFL a wet week or around the rest of the NFL. If you've done one one half season where you've done well, all of a sudden you're, if you're in the right coaching tree, you're getting a head coaching gig. Is this now kind of a counterpoint to that? It's like, actually, you know what, maybe some of the old experienced guys might have, these are the old dogs learning new tricks?
It should be. I mean, there's partly the idea that that old coaches don't relate to young players, but I think that's, you know, that's kind of a dead duck when we've seen it. It was a few years ago, maybe as much as like 15 years ago, Peter King in Sports Illustrated came up with a, what he called the 55 theory, based on 55 miles per hour, the U.S. speed limit, that, you know, coaches didn't do well after the age of 55. And I think the very next year, Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick met in the Super Bowl, and they were both in their mid to late 60s, mid-60s, I guess, at that point. And I think it does show that experience is worth something. You also get the sense that they're comfortable in their jobs, you know, that they have – Andy Reid has control in Kansas City. Belichick has control in New England. Bruce Arians doesn't necessarily have control in Tampa, but they obviously built a great team for Brady to step into and strengthened it after they signed Brady. They were a good team last year, apart from Jameis Winston's turnovers, and signing Brady simply eliminated that problem right away. And Arians and Todd Bowles worked together in his defensive coordinator, worked together in Arizona. And you remember Arizona had quarterback problems via injury for much of that time. And they still were competitive in that NFC West, which was a tough division, because of their defense. And Todd Bowles is an excellent defensive coordinator. Arians knows what he's got there. And you have to give him credit for that, as well as blending with Tom Brady, you know, to create a team that could get to the Super Bowl in Brady's first year.
Yeah, look, it is pretty amazing. And whatever happens, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes is going to be quite the spectacle.
You know, and the matchup I'm really interested in, who's the defensive coordinator in Kansas City? Steve Spagnuolo. When the Patriots were undefeated and went to the Super Bowl in 2007, who came up with the strategy that defeated the Patriots in Super Bowl 2007? It was Steve Spagnuolo. And I'm wondering if he's going to kind of go back to the same well, which was basically the basic thing in that was that they pass rushed up the middle. They closed down the middle so that Tom Brady couldn't take his first step forward when the rush came, because Brady likes to do that. The rush comes from the outside mostly. You step forward and throw the ball. That way you get that extra second or two of comfort. He took that away from him. And I'm wondering if it's going to be something as simple as that, as trying to maintain pressure up the middle. And one of the great things about Brady's season is that for the most part, his offensive line has played very well protecting him. And, you know, they're going to be up a Kansas City team, against a Kansas City team that generated this pass rush yesterday, mostly by bringing defensive backs. And Brady is a master at knowing where the defensive back is going to come from and taking advantage of his absence in the secondary to work to the open man.
Good stuff, Mike. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Mike Carlson giving us his thoughts there on not quite a blowout of the Bills by the Chiefs, 38-24, but a bit of a blowout, probably is. Does that qualify two scores? Is that a blowout these days? Who knows? But it will be Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl in a fortnight's time.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.